Second Peter 1, after having talked about the idea of faith and the seven concepts and qualities that were to be added to it, three times in the next few verses, Peter said to those folks, I put you in remembrance. I am reminding you of things that you really already know. You know, most of the preaching that I do is probably putting you in remembrance. We have no new gospel, though we may approach it in different ways sometimes. That which is being presented to many of you is something that you've heard for years and years. But we ought not to make an apology for reminding us of the fundamental principles of God's Word. We are dependent on them. We need to know them. And so as we continue in this series of lessons just dealing with the Bible and our relationship to it, I understand that most everything that we're saying is just putting us in remembrance. But we do need to be reminded of these fundamental principles. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul said, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, you received it not, or the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want you to concentrate on one basic sentence this morning. And that sentence is, the Bible is the Word of God. Here he said you didn't receive it just as the Word of men, but you received it as that which it is in truth, the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. I am convinced that every problem that arises in religion in connection with that which is generally called Christianity, and that every problem which arises in the church can be traced back to whether or not we really, really believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Many times someone will say, well, I know that's what it says, but that's not what I believe. Do we really believe the Bible to be the Word of God? Take that statement, the Bible is the Word of God, and today we're going to insert five words into that statement at five different times. When we have finished doing that, I think we will have presented basically a full concept of what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God. Now let's insert a word. The Bible is the revealed Word of God, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, is stated in Ephesians 3:5. There was a time when people did not have the written Word of God as you and I have it. Up until Mount Sinai with Moses, God's relationship to the people had been more or less an oral relationship, where he either spoke directly in things such as dreams and visions, or even sent angels in the form of men to appear and give his message to specific people. It was not until Mount Sinai, where God wrote with his own finger the Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone, that we had a written message. And then through Moses, he gave to the children of Israel the specific laws that would come under those Ten Commandments. And with the writing of Moses and others, especially including the prophets over a period of time, the law of Moses was given to the children of Israel, to a specific nation, for a specific purpose. And there was the first written word of God. But even with that law, God's complete message was not revealed. That's where he's talking about in other ages, it was not revealed as we now see it under the new covenant. Paul speaking there in Ephesians 5. Later on in that chapter, he said at verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which hath been hid in the mind of God. He said the time is now where all men need to be able to see what the word of God is. And when the old covenant was fulfilled and replaced by the new covenant, especially when that new covenant was completed, there was the word of God revealed to man, to where man could know what God's will is. Have you ever stopped to think about where we would be if we didn't know what God wanted? Suppose we recognize that there is a supreme being, but we did not have the Bible, and we wondered who that supreme being is, what he requires, what he wants. We certainly would be in a difficult situation, wouldn't we? But the Word of God was revealed. It was revealed through the Spirit as they guided men to write God's Word and reveal it so that we would even have it today and know what He has said. That revelation is to be carried now through the preaching of the gospel. It did not exist at one time. It became a reality. It came into existence by the Holy Spirit through the inspired men of God. And then it was carried by preaching and is carried by preaching to let all men see what that fellowship is, which at one time was a mystery and now is not a mystery. That very simple verse of John 8:32 sort of says what we're talking about. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible is the revealed Word of God. And when some say that you cannot know the truth, you cannot understand the truth, they are missing the basic teaching of God's Word. God did not send us something to confuse us, any more than he sent his son to condemn us. His son was sent not to condemn us, but to save us. His message was sent not to confuse us, but to enlighten us through revelation. The Bible is the revealed Word of God. Now put another word in that sentence. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Not only must we understand that it comes from God, but understanding who God is, we understand that that message is His message to man, not man's message to man. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16 points out to us. The word inspiration is used there, a word that literally means God breathed. God breathed his message to man, meaning that it is inspired. When you pick up the Bible, not because of the paper on which it is written, but because of the message that's written on that paper, you are holding something that's not just another book. You're holding in your hand something that's not just that which was brought to us by mere man. You're holding the message of God. A few weeks ago, we talked about what is the Bible and described it as a blueprint, a set of instructions, and then also described it as a love letter from God. It is both. I'm convinced of that. But when you pick up the Bible and you start reading it and meditating upon the message that is in it, you need to understand very clearly and believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Jesus told his apostles in chapters like 14 and 16 of John, that the Spirit would come and guide them into remembering what they had been taught and show them all things, show them all truth, that they might reveal the true message of God to man. That message was brought about to where we can know what God's will is. Though you and I are dependent upon translations, and those translations were made by men who make mistakes and did make some mistakes, basically we have the message even in our translations that was God's inspired message to man. Though there are a few mistakes in any translation, it has been suggested that there is no subject that is covered in any of those passages where it is thought that there is a mistake in translation, but that that subject is clearly covered in other passages where there is no question whatsoever, even concerning translation. The result of those ideas means that we have the inspired Word of God. When we take the complete Word of God, even in our translations, we can know what God's will is on any given subject. And the Bible becomes the inspired will of God. Whether or not we believe in the Bible as being verbally inspired, as we sometimes say, is going to affect what we believe relative to anything in life. When we look at God's Word, we believe it is His revealed Word, and we believe it is His inspired Word. If we really believe that, it's going to affect everything that we do and every time that we turn to the Word of God to understand His message. The third word that I want you to put in this sentence is the word complete. The Bible is the complete Word of God. You hear some sometimes claim to have direct revelation from God and that God has revealed new things to them. That is not the case if the Bible is true, because the Bible claims additionally there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that this inspired Word of God will make us complete. Some versions use the word perfect, which is a synonym of complete when used that way. It will supply us, and if you even think about those four things, it gives us the instruction that we need, it gives us the guidance that we need, it tells us how to correct our needs, and it tells us how to live right. It will make us complete. You cannot mention any principle that has to do with living that's not covered in God's Word. Oh, there may be some customs that we have today or that would be present in any part of society today that are not specifically mentioned in those words in God's Word in the Bible. But you cannot find a principle, a basic concept of principle that has to do with any part of life but that the Bible treats that principle and tells us what God wants us to know about it. His Word is complete. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3, just before those verses that talk about giving us remembrance, that God has delivered unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's delivered unto us, that would have been the apostles, all things, everything that pertains to life and godliness. What else do we need? Not anything else. We're told that we don't need to add to it or take away from it, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. And that same thing is said even back in Deuteronomy and in the book of Proverbs. We're not to change God's Word because it is complete. Just think about some of the specific things that are said in the Bible that it will do. It has the power to change. It has the power to save, Romans 1:15. It calls us, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. It begets us, 1 Corinthians 4:15. It gives us guidance, Romans 10:17, and that by which we are to live, Luke 4 and verse 4. God's Word is complete. We don't need anything else. And perhaps a twin statement to that, putting our fourth word into the sentence. The Bible is the final word of God. Completeness suggests that, but the word final just sort of seals that idea a bit more. It is the final word of God. Paul said in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, if you're talking to another man or you're talking to one that you could even prove was an angel, and either of those tells you something other than what's been revealed, don't listen. It would be another gospel. It is not the complete gospel that has been revealed unto you. And that messenger should be accursed for claiming to bring some new gospel. God's word, the Bible, is the final word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, even after the end of time has come, and all the elements of this earth are melted with fervent heat and destroyed. He said, my word will be there. And he very clearly shows how that it will be in the judgment, and we will be judged by it. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's John 12:48. And a clear presentation of that is given toward the end of Revelation when the books are open. He says, my word is going to be there. It's not going to change. Nothing else is going to be added to it. It would be terrible to think that we might get to the day of judgment and God opens up something and says, by the way, here's something I didn't tell you earlier. I need to tell you now. Wouldn't that be something? But we know that when we get to the day of judgment, there isn't going to be any new thing opened up. The books will be opened. The record book will be opened. But we don't have to question what judgment will be, by what judgment will be made. We don't have to question the standard. We're told very clearly that what we have is the final word of God. It is the inspired word. It is the revealed word. It is the complete word. It is the final word. And one other word I want you to put into that sentence and think about for a moment. The Bible is the exact word of God. I would have difficulty knowing what to do on a daily basis if God's word was just in generalities and he didn't tell us any specifics of what he wanted. Suppose when they got ready to march around Jericho, God had said to Joshua, well, just do something. He didn't do that. He said one time each day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, 13 times, and at the end of that 13th time, here's what I want you to specifically told them exactly what he wanted them to do. Naaman, go find you a river somewhere and do something with it. No. Go to the Jordan River and dip seven times. He didn't have any difficulty understanding it. He had difficulty accepting it for a while. He didn't have any difficulty understanding what God's man said. He said, go to the Jordan River. That's a specific river. Dip seven times. That's a specific number of times. Told him exactly what to do relative to the Sabbath, which we shall study in tonight's lesson. He said, don't do anything on the Sabbath. A man picking up sticks was stoned to death. He said, this is exactly what I want you to do. Don't touch a holy thing, a holy thing. He didn't say, it's all right, Uzzah, if it begins to shake and you think it's going to fall. He didn't say, don't touch it unless or if. He said, don't touch it. And when Uzzah touched it, God struck him dead. Lot and your family, don't look back. He didn't say, I suggest you don't look back. He didn't say, it'll probably be good if you don't. He didn't say, don't look back unless you get so curious that you can't keep from it. He said, don't look back. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And the New Testament points out that that's important enough for us to remember by that little short verse, remember Lot's wife, for that very reason. God said, this is exactly what I'm commanding you. And when she violated that commandment, it made a difference. How many times do you hear today people say, well, it really doesn't make any difference what you believe. It doesn't make any difference what you believe about the church. It doesn't make any difference what you believe about Christ. It doesn't make any difference what you teach is the plan of salvation. It doesn't make any difference what you do in worship. Folks, we need to understand who God is and that His Word is exact. The Bible is the exact Word of God. And when it clearly teaches us that we are to sing and pray and teach, give and observe the Lord's Supper, that's exact. When He says, sing, that's exact. When He says, bread, fruit of the vine, that's exact. We need to understand that God's Word is exact. When He tells us faith, repentance, and baptism to be saved, and faith includes hearing and confession, if you stop and think about it, when He says you must believe, you must repent, you must be baptized, when He says it's for the remission of sins, He was exact. He didn't say do it for some reason, do it some way. He said buried for the remission of sins. God's message is exact. And we need to understand that. Now, as I said, I haven't told you anything today that you didn't already know. It's a remembrance. We need to be reminded. And really, we're emphasizing the Bible is the Word of God. It is the revealed Word, the inspired Word, the complete Word, the final Word, and the exact Word. And that Word teaches us to believe in Christ as the Son of God, repent of our sins, be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and live a Christian life. When we make mistakes, it teaches us to confess, repent, pray to God. Exact. And it'll work today just like it's always worked. If you're not a Christian and need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, or you've gone astray and need to make things right, come as together we stand and sing.